Jeff, I hope it's okay to move this thing. Is it all right?
Good.
I get active and I hit things. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. It's a joy to have the opportunity to speak from God's Word, first of all. That's a privilege.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Is that working? Okay. Well, I've been asked to speak on a topic tonight that is found in Exodus chapter 20. So I would like for you to be opening your Bibles to that passage. We'll actually begin in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus as we set our theme for this evening. It is a theme with huge consequences. I'm beginning the talk the way I am because of that. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17 says, "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." So I pause there for just a moment, and you see on the screen before you, I have chosen a background this evening that has a mountain in it. I didn't just do that because I'm from Florida and we don't know what that is. I did it because God Himself spoke the theme of tonight's lesson from a mountain. And what I hope is the whole time we talk about this lesson this evening, everybody will be reminded in every slide, this is where it came from the mouth of God, who Himself spoke it as the people were gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. Verse 18 of chapter 19. "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." Now I want you to pause there just a moment. Keep your marker there if you would. And let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy, as every Bible student knows, means second law. It is a repetition of the law and of many of the things that happened to Israel as they went through their escape from Egypt and their deliverance ultimately in the land of Canaan. The fifth chapter of Deuteronomy is a repetition of what happened in Exodus 19 and 20. And I want you to notice verse 22 of Deuteronomy 5. It says, "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice." And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. And here's what I hope, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends tonight. I hope as we begin this lesson, you can place yourself to the best of your ability back in the day that this actually happened. I hope you can imagine yourself at the foot of this great mountain, as the 19th chapter describes, surrounded by smoke and quaking and a sound of a trumpet so loud you can hardly bear it. Out of the midst of all of that comes the voice of God. I don't know what that sounded like. And I can assure you, I feel very lame trying to imitate the voice of God. But I do know from Deuteronomy chapter 5, it was a loud voice. And when God finished speaking, the people of Israel said, "We don't ever want to hear that again, lest we die." There was never another instance like this in the history of mankind. Oh, God spoke again from heaven several times, but not like this. And what did God choose to speak to that great multitude? Exodus chapter 20. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is on the earth or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off and said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." I have been asked to focus this evening on one of those commandments. It did not seem fitting to me, having prayed about this for some time, to have the audacity to speak about one of these commandments without the setting in which God put it. It is my hope that in some small fashion, I will be able to this evening to impress upon our minds, and more importantly, upon our hearts, the significance of the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God is giving you. This commandment is one of the nine that are repeated under the law of Christ. Now, since this is not the major theme of my lesson tonight, I'm going very quickly over this point, but I want you to understand it is a significant point. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 very clearly tells us that we under the law of Christ do not live by the Ten Commandments. That's shocking to some people. So let's pause for just a moment and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, you're probably well aware that there are a host of folks who are not worshiping today and yet claim to follow Christ. There are a host of folks who worshiped yesterday on the seventh day of the week, or as it was called in the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, claiming, of course, that we are still to live by the Ten Commandments, and specifically by the fourth commandment, to honor the Sabbath. 2 Corinthians 3, it seems to me, is a very plain passage to teach us that that is not the case. So let's look at verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. And the passage goes on to describe the difference between the glory of that incident and that giving of the law to the glory of what remains, and that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I simply say to you this evening that the reading this evening from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments through the agency of Moses, was powerful and important. And it had glory, and it had majesty, and it had significance. But in comparison to the ministry of the Spirit of life, there was no glory then. But our Lord Jesus chose to take the fifth commandment and place it firmly under the law of Christ. And so we find in Ephesians the sixth chapter a passage very important in our household, because it represented the C verse in our alphabet verses. Do you have your children memorize alphabet verses? I hope you do, because it's one of the wonderful tools to help sink God's word into their minds. And the C verse in our alphabet verses was Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So our Lord Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, took that fifth commandment, given so majestically at Mount Sinai, and placed it clearly and firmly in the midst of his law, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I thought it would be interesting to note some things here at the beginning as we then begin to apply the meaning of this commandment to all of us. First, I want you to note something, that this fifth commandment was spoken by God himself directly to children. First by God himself. And then when it was repeated, it was through Moses. It was also written on stone for them. So every one of us in this audience is a child. We have been a child at one time in a household. We are all children of somebody. So it refers to us all. But I want the children in this audience who are still in your household, who are still under the auspices of your parents, to listen to me closely. Children, are your eyes up here? God himself spoke this to children. Does that make this important? He also, with his own hand, wrote it in stone when that was first given to Moses. Later, he had Moses write it again on stone so it could be kept in the tabernacle and later in the temple from then on for God's people under the old covenant to know exactly what was important to him. And then, as if to add another phenomenal layer of importance, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his beloved Apostle Paul, stated the commandment again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Second, God spoke it directly to the children through the Apostle Paul, as I've just quoted to you. Thirdly, in the Ten Commandments, this was the first commandment involving a relationship between people. The first four of the commandments were the relationship of man to God. The fifth one begins a series of commandments about relationships between man and man, between person and person. And I don't know if there's significance in this or not, but it is certainly interesting that the first one he gives in relationships between people is for children to honor their parents. And then, this is also the first commandment, Ephesians tells us, with promise. Well, it's not that he didn't say some things were going to happen relative to the other commandments, or that some things are going to be consequences of other commandments. But God did specifically say in this case, there is a promise connected with this one. He said, you're going to live long in the land the Lord your God gives you if you do this. And in the new covenant, Jesus said, this is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So he chose to expand that notion not only to Jews under the law of Moses, but to everybody in all ages who are following the law of Christ. How important is this, beloved? It's the first commandment with promise. And may I suggest to you that if we in the United States of America and in our culture begin to lose the notion of what it means to honor father and mother, we are on our way to destruction. We will not last long on this earth. And I see some signs around me, being now the ancient age of 67. I see some signs of change that are not pleasant to me. I'm not here to tell you we're living in the worst of times in the United States of America, but we certainly are seeing the degradation of some things. Honor, dignity, and respect for parents is among those. And I hope that our introduction this evening has been sufficient to get your attention as to the significance of that which with which we speak. So now we're ready to talk about what this means. And so, of course, we need to look at the first word in this commandment. Honor. This is the verb, ladies and gentlemen, which God chose to pronounce the fifth commandment as he told children about the relationship between them and their parents. So, I want to examine with you for just a few minutes this word. I don't think there's anything more important that we could be doing as we study this subject than to understand what this word means. So I chose not to put the words up here as they were originally penned. You couldn't have read them anyway. But in the Hebrew language, when God himself spoke this from heaven, from that mountain, he spoke a word that in the Hebrew language is very closely related to the word for heavy. Not being a Hebrew scholar myself, I've had to take the words of others, but what they tell me is when the language was written in the early form of Hebrew, the only difference between the word honor, as it's translated in English, and the word heavy was a little point on the second letter. And that point makes the difference between honor and heavy, and the concepts are very closely related, is my understanding. Thus, treating one's parents with the gravity of their position is what's in mind here. It's as if this is heavy. And I kind of like what that word's come to mean in modern parlance. That's heavy stuff. It is used to describe once someone who was heavy with wealth, someone considered important, someone impressive. And I ask you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and let's read about one such person, of whom this particular word is used. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6. Saul is talking to his servants, and he said to him, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God," or one of his servants said to him, "and he is an honorable man." That's the word. "All that he says surely comes to pass, so let us go there, and perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." This prophet, this one whose words come to pass, is an honorable man. That's this word, ladies and gentlemen. And if you understand who Samuel was, you have some concept of the word God chose to use when he said to children, "You honor your parents." This is a heavy command because you're dealing with significant people. The word in the Hebrew language means to place value on something or to consider it a prized possession. Now there's a second word that's used that I want to show you in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. And again, I'll give you a moment to turn there if you like, because there's something interesting about this expression that I'd like to show you. Leviticus 19 and verse 3. It says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Now, that's not the same word in Hebrew, revere. But it certainly is connected and shows you the concept that God has in mind. God wants us to revere, and did you notice in this case, it said your mother and your father? Because I've not made it a point yet to any of us that in this command that God himself spoke, he specifically listed father and mother. And in this instance, he said mother and father. So may I suggest to you, children, the same kind of respect and reverence you would give your father is the kind of honor you should be giving to your mother as well. And might I add, just in case I forget to make this point later, fathers in this audience, if your child begins to show disrespect to your wife who is their mother, and you allow that to happen, you are allowing something very significant to take place that has impact not only upon your family, but upon the kingdom of God and upon the length of time we stay on this land. Don't you let your child be disrespectful to his mother or her mother. I've seen it in too many instances where the father just kind of turns his head and takes no part in this. He's above all this. If your child is showing disrespect for your wife, the mother of your household, it is your responsibility first and foremost to make certain that does not happen at our house. And one way that takes place is by you yourself showing the respect she deserves in your household and lifting her up like God intends. We are to treat parents with the gravity that their position demands. So I want to give you an example or two. This includes the idea of giving respect not only for merit, but for rank. Let me give you a couple of examples. I don't agree with our present president. I guess I have to stay here, don't I? I don't agree with our present president of the United States on a host of things. But if our president of the United States of America were to walk in a room where I am present, I will stand up and be respectful of his office. I hope you will. You may not agree with your parents on some things. They deserve your respect because of who they are. That's what God says. And you will be respectful of them, God says, if you wish to live long on this earth. Recently, John Stewart was interviewing President Obama. During the course of that interview, I was embarrassed to hear him call our president, dude. How dare he? What is it, younger generation, that you've lost? That you think you can disrespect one of the most significant offices on the face of the earth? I do see in your generation, young people, a growing lack of the concept of being respectful for authority and authority figures. You must change that, and it must start at home. Now, let me give you one a little closer to home. It's been announced this evening that I'm the president of Florida College. I don't make a big deal out of that. That's not a big thing to me. But the president of a college is a significant position. I received an email recently from one of our students. And here's how the email began. Hey! How are things happening today? And then it proceeded to get about what business the person had an interest with me. Do you see any problem with that? I think there are a whole host of young people that see no problem with that at all. They say that to everybody. Hey! That's how you start an email, right? That's not how you start an email to the president. I hope. Nor is it how you should begin a conversation with your mother and your father as you slouch in your seat and say, hey, dude. There's a great lesson from this commandment to behave in proper ways of respect, whether we like it or not. And I'm convinced that's exactly what God expects as we honor our mother and our father. Now, the opposite of the word honor in the Hebrew language is a very similar word, but its meaning is exactly the opposite. And when it is translated, my understanding, again, I haven't studied this in every detail, but my understanding is it's translated into English to curse. This opposite Hebrew word. But that the literal meaning of the word kind of like the opposite of heavy. So it means to make light of. So may I suggest to you children and to me, my daddy's still alive. I already told you I'm 67. He turned 99 on July the 19th, and he's still doing very well, thank you very much. Still drives everywhere, and still preaches by appointment, teaches the Bible, and I am in awe of him. And I hope there will never be an instance in my life where I show the least amount of disrespect for my daddy. I love the man. Have I always agreed with him? But I pray to God that I've treated him with the respect he deserves. And I hope you will too. You see, when you make light of somebody, you're not honoring them. It's the opposite of honor. You can dishonor your parents by directing curses at them, and that's certainly what this passage means. You can also dishonor them by treating them lightly. And I want to show you some ways to do that because the Bible talks about it. Let's go to Exodus 21. This is the very next chapter after we are told the Ten Commandments. And the Lord continues with a host of other commandments, which he didn't speak out loud, but he gave to Moses, who wrote them down. And in Exodus 21, verse 17, here's what God said. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, we think when we read that of expletives. And may I say to you, I am embarrassed at what some folks listen to on the radio and on the television, in rap music and in other kinds of people, music the young people like, that calls people horrible names. I don't even want to say the hint of it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. vile things said about mother and father. It is horrendous. And may I just say to you, beloved, if you allow such filth to enter your minds without reacting to that, you're becoming inured. Don't you let something dishonoring to mom and dad enter your mind and heart without saying, God forbid, stop it. And maybe you don't say it out loud. You better say it inside. In the law of Moses, you curse your mother or father, you die. We're a long way from that. Now back up to the 15th verse. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Certainly that's another way to dishonor mother or father. And God forbid that any of us would even consider such a thing. But it has certainly happened. And then I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, where probably the words of this wise man comes a little closer to what you and I might choose to participate in. So I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 11, it makes the following observation. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Let not that be your generation, young people. And then verse 17 says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Now, I want everybody's eyes up here on me. And I want to show you an eye that mocks his father or that scorns obedience to his mother. You watch. Mother says to daughter, it's time for you to go clean up your room. It's a mess. And you go. And go slouching off somewhere. Or son is being told by his father, it's time for you to go out and mow the lawn. I was really happy when my son got old enough I could tell him that. And he says, I want you to read this verse again. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Wonder what the Lord thinks about disrespect with your eyes. There's all kinds of ways to dishonor. You treat your mother and father lightly. That's what curse means. In the Greek language that is used in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, the word means to revere, to prize, to value, to lift up. Listen, children, you need to think of your mom and dad this way. They have given so much for you. To lift them up and respect them. And think about if that's how you truly felt about mom and dad, how would you treat them? And I must say to you, the commandment here in Ephesians and in the Old Testament is not qualified. It does not say honor your parents only if the person they are is perceived as deserving. It does not say honor only if the person always reciprocates. It does not say honor only if it is pleasing to you to do so. It does not say honor only if you get a compliment when you do that. It does not say honor only if it feels right. Boy, that's our age, isn't it? It does not say honor only if other people also do it. And the example I like to turn to is 1 Samuel 24. Please go there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 24. What we're talking about in this chapter is David, who is running for his life to escape King Saul. And in the midst of all that activity, David has the opportunity to kill Saul. But he doesn't. And here's what he says in 1 Samuel 24, verse 10. David said to Saul, verse 9 says, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see," you see what he called Saul? He was actually his father-in-law. He said, "Look here, my father. You see the corner of your robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, and yet you hunt my life to take it." May I say to us, children, you don't have a daddy as bad as Saul. Saul was out to kill David, and he went to great extremes to make it happen. And David had the chance to kill him. He had too much respect for the office of this man. And he didn't. I would say to you here, as in the case of agape love, as it's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we don't have time to talk about that passage tonight, but you know it, Bible students. What does love do is what that's all about. How does love act? God is not so interested in our feelings as he is in our behavior. And what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches you is, if you're having problems with someone in the love relationship, then start acting better, and the feelings will follow. It's a lot easier to act your way into feeling better than it is to feel your way into acting better. And might I suggest the same is true with honoring? Do you know that there's no specific command given by God to children to love their parents? Now, I think it's included under the general commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. Surely your parents would be included in that. But there's no specific commandment to children to love their parents. There is a specific commandment to honor your parents. So whether you feel like it or not, and whether on this occasion you love them very much or not, what God's interested in is how you act toward them. How does love act? Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love envies not. How does honor act? Honor is respectful. It prizes its parents. It lifts them up. It respects them. I'm going to pass over this one lightly, but it deserves more attention. In the 15th chapter of Matthew and also in Mark 7, God tells us specifically through Jesus Christ our Lord that honoring your parents involves supporting them financially as needed. And you cannot get out of that by your traditions. You can study that passage on your own. But the fact is, God includes in honoring a financial component that was very clear in the mind of Jesus. And he criticized the Pharisees for setting up their system to avoid that very financial responsibility. And in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, we're told that children and grandchildren are first to take care of their parents and grandparents, not the church. It's your responsibility first, children and grandchildren, so the church be not burdened. And that's part of honoring mother and father. All right, so this is closely related to obedience, as Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Deuteronomy 21 tells about a rebellious and disobedient son who continued doing what God didn't want him to do. At that point, the parents are to bring that son before the elders and say, we have a son that will not obey us. And they were to make judgment, and if he's judged guilty, he was to be stoned to death. And Proverbs has much to say about this. I'll only turn to the last chapter, chapter 23, that's up here on the screen, and read this to you. Verse 22 beginning. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. And that's a wonderful way to conclude this lesson. Children, could I ask you to think about this? When your parents think about you today, does it make them just thrilled? Because you're a wise son. You're a respectful daughter. You have given the Lord your heart. Is that how mom and dad think about me today? If it isn't, may I beg of you that you be reminded of how we started this lesson. Would you be reminded that God himself spoke this from heaven, and that through the centuries he's included this as one of the significant parts of what he wants us to be doing? And would you make whatever correction needs to be made? It's never too late to heal wounds that have been caused in families. I pray God will bless you with the determination tonight, if you've got a problem in this area, to start immediately making the healing that is needed to bring reconciliation with your mom and dad. Now, I must make one other point quickly. In all of this, I do not want to imply that a child must do everything the parent tells them if it is in violation of what God says. I suspect that's rare or non-existent in this audience. But Matthew, the 10th chapter, says he's going to make enemies in households. Sometimes fathers will turn against children and children against fathers for the kingdom's sake. So understand, a child must also answer to God before he answers to his father. But don't let be an excuse for you to dishonor your father. And we must obey God rather than man. But don't you jump on that bandwagon, son. And so that's what I'm doing. My suspicion is, were it to be investigated carefully, your father did not ask you to do anything in violation of God's will. You just didn't like it. So I pray fervently that every child in this audience who has an opportunity still in this life to honor father and mother will make every day an opportunity to do that. And that whatever needs to be changed about it, you'll make right now and get a new beginning. And we have a tradition at services like this to close with a song to invite folks who need to make their lives right, better, help this, let this church help you. Maybe this would be a good time to get prayers of this group to help you with whatever's challenging in your life. And if you're not a Christian, we hope you'll submit with humble, penitent obedience to the master of this universe and confess before these people, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll stop everything and immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. And you can rise a new child of God. Won't you come while we stand and as we sing?